That book, if I ever get around to writing it, will be History's Most Important 10 Days. I can't find any serious study that has been done on the days surrounding the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I feel very, very badly that it's been taken so lightly, and people can sort of just say, well, the Lord died and that's about it. Whereas in the Scriptures, we are instructed by God to walk circumspectly. You know what the word circumspectly means? The Apostle Paul in Ephesians said, walk circumspectly. The word circumspectly means accurately. Accurately. God expects me to walk in exact accordance to His Word. And I believe that God, when He set down the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, did it circumspectly, accurately, so that when the Lord Jesus comes along and He makes a statement like that found in Matthew chapter 12, that as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. I just take that to be gospel. I take that to be what happened. I take that to be circumspect, accurate, as to what God intended and planned in His Word. And I want to share with you a little bit more this morning about history's most important 10 days. We began this series of studies a couple of weeks ago because of the fact that this is the Easter season. We'll begin a series of studies in the morning service on what is Easter all about. We'll give four messages over the next 4 weeks on the subject of Easter, trying to answer the question, what is Easter all about? Part of this story of Easter has to do with this study that we are engaged in, history's most important 10 days. We drew up a bit of a chart, and if you have a copy of this, we'd like you to keep it handy because we're going to be referring to this morning. I ran another 25 off. I don't know whether there are any left or not. So if you don't have one, maybe sit next to a person who has one, because that's where we're going to be centering our attention this morning. What we have been trying to suggest to you as we've been looking at history's most important 10 days has to do with the timing of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. You will recall how that we have pointed out to you that the gospel is composed of three things. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And what we're zeroing in on is the little phrase, according to the Scriptures. What Scriptures are involved in this whole situation? You remember we spoke to you about Colossians 2:17, where we are told that the holy days and the special days of the Jewish calendar are shadows, but the body is Christ. And we tried to explain that to you by putting our hand on the stage and suggesting to you that there is a shadow on the screen. That which casts the shadow is my hand. The shadow and the hand must match perfectly. The Old Testament special days are shadows. The body that casts the shadow is Jesus Christ. Therefore, the shadow and the body must match perfectly. And that's what we have been trying to point out to you. Then we have suggested to you that we need to keep 2 Corinthians 11 and 4 in mind, because the Apostle Paul said, if someone comes along and preaches another Jesus unto you, we must be very, very careful that the Jesus that we receive as Savior and Lord is the Jesus of the Bible. There are many, many preachers today preaching another Jesus, not the Jesus of the Bible. The Jesus that we preach must fit the mold of Scripture exactly in order for that Jesus to be the Savior. And then we have tried to point out to you that 1 Corinthians 5 and 7 is the Scripture which is in mind when the Apostle Paul said, Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He is our Passover. Therefore, we went back to Exodus 12 and Leviticus 23 to learn about the Passover lamb, because He is our Passover. The Passover is a shadow. The shadow and the body must match perfectly. And that's the responsibility of we who are Christians to match them. Also, you'll remember in Matthew 12 and 40 is the statement that I gave to you about Christ being 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. We went from there, if you'll recall, back to the book of Exodus chapter 12, and we began to gather some information about these 10 days of history, which are very, very important. You remember in Exodus chapter 12, we learned that a lamb was to be chosen on the 10th day of Nisan. You remember that? Not if you remember. Some do, some don't. Okay, Exodus chapter 12, a lamb was to be chosen. It was to be a male of the first year. It was to be without blemish. And you remember how the lamb, according to Exodus 12, was to be kept up until the 14th day of Nisan, and then the lamb was to be killed in the evening of the 14th. Now, when you think about evening, it could not be the end of the day. It had to be something else, because you'll remember that the death angel passed over at the midnight hour. So the lamb had to be killed before the midnight. So we have strongly suggested to you that the little phrase, the lamb was to be killed in the evening, means between the two evenings. And if you'll remember, we tried to suggest to you something about a Jewish day. A Jewish day is different than our day. Our day begins at midnight. The Jewish day begins at 6 o'clock or with the setting of the sun. Therefore, each day ends and begins with an evening. An evening, the first few hours before the setting of the sun and a few hours after the setting of the sun. So between 4 o'clock and 8 o'clock, the lamb was to be killed at the setting of the sun. So what we have discovered in our study so far is that the 10th day was a special day and that the lamb was to be chosen. The lamb was to be kept up until the 14th day. It was to be killed between the evenings or at the setting of the sun. Then you remember they were to take the blood of the lamb and they were to put it on the side posts of the door and on the lintel above the door. And that was to be done after the lamb was killed, but before the midnight hour. Because you remember that the death angel passed over at midnight, and you remember the scripture, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. The death angel was looking for the blood, not on the ground. He was looking for the blood on the doorpost and the lintel. That's where the blood had to be applied. After the lamb was killed and the blood was applied, they were to take the lamb inside the house. They were to roast it, and they were to eat of that lamb. They were not to come out of their house until the morning. And if there was any of the lamb left, you remember, the scripture tells us that they were to burn it with fire. Now remember, this is the shadow. The body that casts the shadow, Jesus Christ. We also learn from Leviticus chapter 23. Let's turn there just briefly, because this is going to come into play today. Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus chapter 23, Moses begins to lay out for the children of Israel these special days or the holy convocations from God Almighty. Let me begin reading at verse 1 and just point out a couple of things to you. Leviticus 23. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, Concerning the feasts of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be, now notice the next two words, holy convocations, even these are my feasts. The first one, 6 days shall be work be done, but the seventh is the Sabbath of rest. And the Sabbath is what day? Saturday. Not Sunday. Saturday, the seventh day of the week. Sunday is the first day of the week. So Saturday was the weekly Sabbath. They were to rest on the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day, notice verse 3, a holy convocation. And notice what he says, ye shall do no work in it. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. Verse 4, these are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations, which ye shall proclaim in their season. In the 14th day of the first month at evening is the Lord's Passover. Now remember the Jewish day. He says here, the 14th day of the first month at what? Even. When is even? When their 14th day begins. And when does it begin? The setting of the sun. So what we have here is the 14th day, the setting of the sun. This is the Lord's Passover. It begins at even. The death angel passed at midnight, you remember, and then the rest of the day. So please remember, it's the Lord's Passover. Now verse 6. On the 15th day of the month, notice, on the 15th day of the month, of the same month, is the Feast of Unleavened Bread unto the Lord. 7 days must ye eat unleavened bread. The first day ye shall have an what? Holy convocation. Now he mentions holy convocation with respect to three important days in what we've read so far. A holy convocation is the weekly Sabbath. A holy convocation is the 14th day. A holy convocation is the 15th day of the month, which is the first day of unleavened bread. Please notice he mentions three holy convocations. You got that now? Now what we're going to try to do is apply this to the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. If indeed this is a shadow, the shadow has to match what happened to the Lord Jesus. You understand where I'm coming from? If I've lost you, shake your head. If you've any questions, ask now before we get into this. Any questions? Oh, by the way, you remember we suggested to you that the Holy Spirit of God just dropped a little time element into this whole scenario. Go with me to John's Gospel. John's Gospel, chapter 12. John's Gospel, chapter 12, and verse 1. Now, when you read this, you'll say, that's not important. Oh, well, you watch it. John, chapter 12, verse 1. Then Jesus, this is all leading up to the death, the burial, and resurrection of Christ. Then Jesus, how many days before Passover? 6 days before Passover. Please notice it. 6 days before Passover. Passover is what day? 14th. So, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 days before Passover, the Lord Jesus came to Jerusalem. All right? Now, have you got that picture? This is information that is given to us. There can be no question about this information. This is information that's inspired of the Holy Spirit. I didn't make this up. God gave us these details and this information in the Scriptures. All right? Now, what we're going to do is to look at how this applies to the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. The second little chart that you have on your piece of paper is the traditional Good Friday. All right, the traditional Good Friday. Did Jesus die on Good Friday? Well, how are we going to prove that? How are we going to substantiate our claim that he did not die on Good Friday? Well, if you look at the shadow, you will find that it will answer any questions that you have. Now, I've heard all kinds of preachers say he died on Friday about 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And if he died at 3 o'clock on Friday afternoon, there's no way you can work 3 days and 3 nights. And there have been all kinds of gymnastics done in order to get a part of a day, a full day, and then another part of a day. So you have a part of one day, one full day, and a part of another day. And that's what they say are the 3 days and the 3 nights. Now let's look at it. Forget the 3 days and 3 nights. All right? Forget the 3 days and 3 nights. Look only at the information that we have gathered from the inspired Word of God. All right? Forget the 3 days and forget the 3 nights for the time being. Look only at the information that we have. What do we learn? Well, we learned that 6 days before Passover, the Lord Jesus came to Jerusalem. There's no problem here. But now we come along and we find that the 10th day is Tuesday. 10th day of Nisan. What happened on the 10th day? The lamb was chosen. Do you remember? On the 10th day of Nisan, the lamb was to be kept up until the 14th day of Nisan and killed when? Between the two evenings. So if he died on Friday, right? If he died on Friday, Passover is on Saturday. Right? Are you following me? Passover is on Saturday. Sunday is what? The 15th day, which is what? First day of unleavened bread. And what is the first day of unleavened bread? And holy convocation. Those women could not prepare the body of Christ for burial on a holy convocation. They would have broken the law of Moses. It could not be. Forget the 3 days and three nights. Only look at the shadow. Only look at the feast days. And you'll find that it is impossible for Christ to have been put to death on Friday afternoon, because it does not match the shadow. Comprehend? All right. That's Good Friday. We suggest to you, there's no way that you can work the death of Christ in at 3 to 4 o'clock on Friday afternoon because of the holy convocation on Sunday. You remember the women came to prepare him early Sunday morning. They would have broken the law of God. They could not do that. Don't you remember that the women waited until the Sabbath was over? Very early on the first day of the week they came. They had to wait until the Sabbath was over. If they had to wait for the weekly Sabbath, don't you think they also had to wait for the first day of unleavened bread as well? Good Friday just doesn't fit the pattern, don't you see? The shadow doesn't match. But let's look at another day. There are a lot of folks who say, well, Friday is certainly no good because you can't work the 3 days and three nights into it. Besides that, they are breaking a holy convocation. So some have said, well, why don't we move it back one day? Let's go to Thursday, all right? Let's go to Thursday and see how Thursday works into all of this scenario. Well, if the 10th day of Nisan is the day that the lamb was chosen, that would be Monday, right? 10th day of Nisan. Keep the lamb up until the 14th day, and he died at the setting of the sun. This then would make Friday the 14th day, which is the Passover. All right? Then you come to Saturday, which is what? The Sabbath day, the weekly Sabbath. But also, if we take Thursday, then what else is it? First day of unleavened bread. So there's no problem here. Must have been Thursday. Except for one thing. 6 days before Passover, the Lord Jesus came to Jerusalem. What would the 6 days before Passover be? A weekly Sabbath. If the Lord Jesus had come to Jerusalem 6 days before Passover on a Sabbath day, when he died on the cross, he'd be dying for his own sin because he broke the Sabbath day. Humphrey, do you see it? It could not have been Thursday. Even though all of this may work out, still we have the 6 days before Passover, and the 6 days before Passover, if Thursday was the day of it, would have been a holy convocation. And the Lord traveled further than a Sabbath day's journey. It could not have been Thursday, because you see, the information and the shadow do not match. Well, if we keep moving back and back and back, we're allowed to get right back to the original Sabbath day and the original Passover. But let's try one more, shall we? Let's try Wednesday. Let's try Wednesday and see what happens when we put the death of the Lord Jesus on a Wednesday. Here we have the 10th day of Nisan, which is a what? First day of the week, Sunday. Tell me something. What is the Sunday before Easter? Palm Sunday. What is Palm Sunday? The Lord Jesus rode on a wee animal into the city of Jerusalem. And what was happening when he rode into Jerusalem? He is offering himself as the Lamb of God. He's the Lamb chosen. Now, well, it's interesting that we celebrate Palm Sunday. It's interesting that we celebrate his entrance in Jerusalem on Sunday and then have his death on Friday. It just doesn't work in. Because if you have him dying on Friday, Tuesday is the day he was chosen, not Sunday. So it helps us, doesn't it, to know that the 10th day of Nisan, the day the Lamb was chosen, is Palm Sunday. Hey, we're right for a change. That's a day specially set aside for the choosing of the Lamb. We keep the Lamb up until the 14th day, and he dies on Wednesday night at the setting of the sun. All right? Wednesday night, the setting of the sun. This then would make Thursday Passover. It would make Friday what? First day of unleavened bread. And what does the 16th stand? Where does it stand? It is a holy Sabbath. It is a holy Sabbath. So you see, everything works here. But what about that 6 days before Passover? You see, he came on Friday. He came on Friday, rested at Lazarus' home on the Sabbath day, and then on Sunday he came, the first day of the week, he came into the city of Jerusalem, offered himself, was under observation. The days before he was arrested were days of unprecedented questioning of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so for these days, he was kept under observation. He was put to death Wednesday at the setting of the sun. Thursday is the Passover. Friday is the first day of unleavened bread. Sunday is the weekly Sabbath. Saturday is the weekly Sabbath. And then the women came to prepare the body of Christ very early on Sunday. Now watch what happens. Watch what happens. The whole of the shadow fits circumspectly, accurately. Why? We have the Lamb chosen. Yep. We have the Passover. And the first day of unleavened. Hey, somehow or other, we were able to get 3 days and three nights in there. Did you notice? We have three Sabbath days, three holy convocations in a row. 3 days and three nights. Everything matches with the body. The shadow and the body match perfectly. Well, now, Mr. Reddy, there are a lot of statements in the scripture about the 3 days and the third day and all of those time elements that are used throughout the gospel. I would like to let you know that every reference, when checked out according to the Spirit of God's inspiration, everything fits the pattern of the Wednesday death of Christ. Absolutely everything. I have only one problem. Maybe you can help me. We have worked in every scripture that we have studied into this scenario. There's only one thing that bothers me. Anyone have any idea what it is? Anyone any idea what it is? When the Lord Jesus died on the cross, there were two others who died with him. You remember that they both mocked the Lord Jesus. They both made light of Christ Jesus. But before death occurred, one of them repented. You recall? And you remember how that thief turned to the Lord Jesus and said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Do you remember what the Lord said to him? "Verily I say unto thee, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise." But I have a problem. For if the Lord Jesus said that on Wednesday, he didn't get to paradise until Thursday.
problem.
I want you to know and understand that when God set up this world, he set it up in days. Do you remember he says, the day is coming when all that are in the grave shall hear his voice? He wasn't referring to a single 24-hour day. He was referring to a period of time. Right? One day is with the Lord as a thousand years. A thousand years is one day. And so we suggest to you that this probably has the answer in that the Lord was talking about the day before the coming of the day of grace, when the church was brought into being. This is called the day of grace, referring to a period of time. And that thief joined Christ in the day of the law. We suggest to you that this is the scenario that happened. Why do we suggest that this is what happened? Because the shadow and the body match perfectly. Match perfectly. I suggest to you, this is what happened. Well then, why do we celebrate Good Friday? Why do we celebrate Good Friday? I don't know, why don't you tell me? Why do you think that we celebrate the death of Christ on Good Friday? What's your opinion? What do you know about it? Where did it come from? I would suggest to you it came from a lack of serious consideration of history's most important 10 days. I want you to turn with me to one more scripture for this morning. I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. Behold, there was a great earthquake. The angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. Now this happened very early on the first day of the week. This is on the Sunday, sometime during this period of darkness from 6 o'clock at night till 6 o'clock in the morning, sometime in this place, the angel of the Lord descended and there was an earthquake and he rolled back the stone. Why do you think he rolled back the stone? To let the Lord Jesus out? No. He did not roll back the stone to let the Lord Jesus out. He rolled back the stone so that the people could see he is not here. He is risen as he said. They didn't roll back the stone to let the Lord Jesus out. He was already gone. The Lord Jesus arose from the dead sometime around the setting of the sun on Saturday night. All right? Sometime around the setting of the sun. Now, what was the inside of the sepulchre? What did it look like when Peter, you remember the Mary, the women back, went back and told the apostles that they've taken away the Lord. We don't know where they've laid him. You remember they told, we saw an angel and he said he's not here, he's risen. You remember how Peter and John both ran to the sepulchre? Who was in good condition? John, because he outran Peter. He must have been on some kind of diet to keep himself in good shape. Or maybe he was younger. He beat Peter. You remember how John stooped down and simply looked in? What did Peter do? All impetuous Peter. He came, he ran, and when he got there, he wasn't satisfied with just stooping down and looking in. He went right inside. And when he went inside, he found something rather sensational. For the scripture makes very, very strong conclusions concerning the grave clothes. Because the scripture says, when they saw the grave clothes, they believed. What was so significant about the grave clothes that caused them to come to the place where they believed? Well, we've all heard of the Shroud of Turin, haven't we? You ever heard of the Shroud of Turin? Why, they've taken this piece of cloth and they put it under all kinds of examinations, etc., etc., etc. That thing is a fake. That thing is a fraud. How do I know? If you read carefully what the scripture says about the condition of the sepulchre when Peter went in, you know what he found? There was a napkin that had been wrapped around his head. Now, I don't know how the Shroud of Turin explains away the napkin. But there was a napkin that was wrapped around the head of the Lord Jesus. They found this napkin folded, laying by itself in another place. What does that suggest to you? What does that suggest to you? What it suggests to me is that the Lord Jesus arose from the dead, and he wasn't in any big hurry. He took his time while still in the sepulcher. He took time in order to take this napkin and fold it neatly and lay it over here by itself in another place. But what about the grave clothes themselves? What was so unique about the grave clothes that when they saw the grave clothes, they believed? If you were to take a pencil sometime and wrap string around it, just wrap string around it like that, all right? Then when you get it all done, just pull the pencil out of the string that's wrapped around the pencil. And what will happen to the string? It will collapse, right? It will collapse. That is the condition of the grave clothes that Peter saw. The grave clothes were not in a situation where the body was unwrapped. The condition of the grave clothes was that the body simply passed through the grave clothes, and there they were exactly as they were wrapped around, simply collapsed. And when they saw the grave clothes, they believed. They believed. I'm so glad that God took these 10 days of history and considered them as very, very serious. And when we read the scriptures and when we study these things, we can see how that God circumspectly, accurately, had every detail worked out in accordance with what he has already revealed in the Old Testament. The Bible is true. The Bible is accurate. The Bible can be trusted. It is reliable. I believe it with all of my heart. And all we have to do is to take the shadows, investigate the shadows, and we learn some details that you will never find in the Gospels, because God has already provided that information in the shadows to give us what we need in order to understand what happened at Calvary. Next week, I'd like to go a little step further in this particular study. Now, what I want to try to answer next week is why 3 days and three nights? Why not four? Why not two? Why not five? Why does it have to be 3 days and three nights that the Lord spent in the heart of the earth? Why three? Why not two? Why not one? And I'd like to share some things with you that are my thoughts concerning this particular question that I have presented to you. Why 3 days and three nights? And we'll deal with that, Lord willing, next Sunday morning. Do you have any questions about what we have said thus far in this study? Yes. Okay, they took him off the cross after the setting of the sun, okay? And in this particular period of time in here, the thief died, they came to break the leg, and the Lord was removed, and the other bodies were removed from the cross sometime in the evening. Convocation. Go back and read the shadow again. After the lamb was killed, they were to put the blood. They were to bake the lamb, roast the lamb, and they were to in and they were to eat it. There were special activities related to the Passover after the lamb was killed. And I submit and suggest to you that relates to the actions that were taking place after the setting of the sun. Good question. Any other questions? Probably on Thursday. Maybe either Thursday or Friday. It's interesting that when they went to the high priest went to Pilate and asked for him to set a watch, do you remember? They understood exactly what Jesus said. His own apostles didn't take him seriously. But it's interesting that the high priest took him seriously, because they went and said, "We want you to set a watch on that sepulcher, for this fellow said, in 3 days I will rise again." And interesting, something you want to ponder sometime, because when they asked for the watch, they made an interesting statement. And the statement was this: lest a worse mistake be made than the first one. What was the first mistake? What was the first mistake to which they alluded? Interesting statement that they made. And out of their own mouths, they condemned themselves. The scripture talks about this. Good question. Any other questions? I have no idea. You'll have to go to, I guess, the Church of England. Is that the Church of England? Is Church of Rome, Ash Wednesday? I really don't know what's involved in all of that. They have Lent. I don't know where they have their authority for Lent. I don't know where they get their Lent. It seems to me God is not calling on me to give up something for 40 days. If I give it up for 40 days, I should be willing to give it up the rest of my life. If it's, you know, if it's worth giving up for Lent, then it's not worth me having for the rest of my life. So I reject Lent. I reject all of these. The only days that I consider special are the ones that God named in his book. And throw Tuesday. That's Pancake Tuesday, isn't it? I don't mind Pancake Tuesday. I don't mind Pancake Tuesday. Anyway, any questions on this scenario? Do you understand what I've tried to say to you? Okay. Next Sunday morning, why 3 days and three nights? Sorry? Who had a question? Oh. Not sure how whether they wrapped it, you know, a little narrow band like this. There is an interesting study, and if any of you ever have an opportunity to pick up a book entitled "Who Rolled Away the Stone," there's a very interesting description of what happened there. If it was one large sheet, you know, it was folded around him. They put in the spices, and then they had to wrap it in order to keep the spices in. So whatever system they used to wrap him, it was just collapsed. Oh, yes. You read about Nicodemus and Joseph. All right. Tell you why. Because when Joseph and Nicodemus took the body of Christ off the cross, they had to be in a hurry. And they did it in a very great hurry. The women watched, remember, and they saw where he was laid. And they came back to do a more permanent job on the first day of the week, because everything had to be done in a hurry. But they used 100 pounds. Where did he get 100 pounds of spices at that time of the day? Joseph is an interesting character. You know something? Joseph was already for the death of Christ. You know how he came to those conclusions? He studied the shadows. Joseph was already. He had purchased the spices. They were already. He had a sepulcher. Did he make that sepulcher for himself, or did he do it specially for the Lord Jesus? Why would Joseph, why would Joseph, who lived in Arimathea, come down and make a sepulcher for himself in Jerusalem when he was from Arimathea? Think about it. Fantastic study. This is a beautiful, beautiful situation. God was so careful in all of the little details about the history's most important 10 days. Shall we pray? Thank you, Father, for this opportunity we've had of just considering and pondering thy word. We pray, Lord, that we will be like the Bereans now, and we will search the scripture to see if these things be so. And Father, we pray that as we come to study these things, grant that we will be fully persuaded in our own hearts and in our own minds. Speak to us, Father. Drive us to the word of God. Help us to hide the word in our hearts that we might not sin against thee. Help us, Father, to realize thy word is truth. Blessed to this end, in Jesus' name. Amen.